This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and streaming on ESPN Plus. Amber Wilson and Mike Wells, we are filling in for the guys. You can tweet to us at Amber W Sports, at Mike Wells NFL. Barton Hahn is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You can also give us a call on the call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike, in the third hour on Barton Hahn, in the words of Bart Scott, it is the power hour. He's so much better at that than I am, isn't he? But there you have it, Barton Hahn
you
fans.
Be happy he's better at it than you.
Yes, well, there you go. So in the power hour, I wanted to continue to break down this list that we were talking about on the.com where Tim Bontemps had ranked some of the biggest trades of the past two decades in the NBA and how they might inform Kevin Durant's future. So to help us to get into this further, I wanted to have on Tim Bontemps, who does join us now, of course, ESPN's NBA writer. And Tim, you kind of just have to explain this one to me more, because I know obviously you're considering what the teams got in return for trading away the superstar, but I would imagine that results matter as well here, and it's sort of shocking, I have to tell you, to see James Harden to Brooklyn as third on this list, as the third biggest trade in the last 20 years in the NBA.
Well, no, it's really not about the results afterward, because it's sort of impossible to rank, you know, say Tracy McGrady or Shaq getting traded 20 years ago compared to James Harden getting traded last year, because you can't really play out how the whole James Harden trade played out, right? Or even the Paul George or Anthony Davis trades, because there's so many picks in the future. So really, the goal of these rankings was to try to rank, you know, these 15 trades across the past 20 years in terms of, you know, sort of in the moment when the trade was made, what was the return for the team that traded away the star, and what did it look like? And in an attempt to try to see what it would be that the Nets, in theory, will be trying to get in these trades. And obviously some of this is a little complicated because, you know, if you go back to the start of that list, when you look at guys like Tracy McGrady and Shaq and Allen Iverson, you know, those deals were more centered around players, right? Like Tracy McGrady got traded for Steve Francis. Lamar Odom got traded for Shaq. Andre Miller got traded for Allen Iverson. And obviously in today's day and age, we've seen over time that shifted more towards teams getting a ton of draft picks and future assets, and the packages have gotten bigger over time. But, you know, it's obviously an imperfect list, and you can quibble with where things are ranked. But that was sort of the goal, was to try to look at when the trade was made, what did it look like a team got back, and try to use that to extrapolate out what the Nets might get for Kevin Durant if they're able to pull a trade off here in the next few months.
So that makes more sense. So the analysis then, when you're saying, you know, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, obviously the Lakers do get a championship out of that one, but you're more concerned about what New Orleans got in return in that trade. And so we're evaluating from the team that traded away the superstar. I thought it was interesting, though, what you just mentioned, because that's what I'm seeing when I'm looking at this list as well. Sort of the trajectory of the NBA, that now it's much more pick heavy than it once was. And it makes sense when I think about some of the more old timers in the NBA, like the Pat Rileys of the world that used to be so against picks in return for players. Is it just the entire movement of the game has changed, the league has changed, and now just in these trades, it just really is picks first?
I think the inflection point, Amber, in these deals was in 2011 when Deron Williams and Carmelo Anthony were traded on back-to-back days, right? You look at those deals, and really from that point forward, we saw these trades really grow exponentially in terms of what teams got back. Right. After that, we saw Kevin Love get traded for the first overall pick and Andrew Wiggins. We saw these big packages for Anthony Davis and Paul George and James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Right. And I think when you think back to how long that pursuit was, like, remember, I mean, Carmelo was on the block for the better part of a year. Right. And then Deron Williams was traded to the other team that was bidding for him in the Nets, because the Jazz swooped in and saw the Nets were left with holding the bag and decided to try to get a bunch of stuff for Deron Williams after he had a falling out with Jerry Sloan. So really from that point on, that's where we saw these trades shift in another direction. And I think we've seen over the last couple of years since the Anthony Davis and Paul George trades, things have really shifted again, where now teams are asking for all sorts of picks. And that's, you know, even a guy like Rudy Gobert, who was traded earlier this month, a guy who's a really good player, but not on the level of a Kevin Durant or a James Harden when he was traded, or an Anthony Davis. He even got three or four or five first-round picks, depending on when you look at it, right? So I think it's just, like you said, sort of a natural evolution in these trades. And as, you know, teams see sort of what the new benchmark is, it's like, all right, we have to get past that to trade our guy. And that's caused the benchmarks to go higher and higher as we moved along.
Well, Tim, I got to tell you, as I was looking at these rankings, you know, a number of these trades happened when I was covering the NBA. So I thought back and started smiling about when I was covering the league.
Yep.
As you kind of compiled and you saw you were getting closer to number one, were there any of them where you're like, oh wow, I forgot about this one, or man, I can't imagine this being, you know, why this trade was number two on my list?
Yeah, I felt, to me, I think the Shaq trade probably was a little lower than it should have been, ultimately. Just because I think at the time, Lamar Odom was really seen as a pretty big-time player going to L.A. And, you know, I think maybe we could have bumped that up a little bit higher. But ultimately, Wells, I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, I think what more stood out to me was sort of like what the T-Mac trade and the Iverson trade were in the moment, right? Like, if you fast forward to today and Tracy McGrady in his prime was on the block, like, he'd be getting an Anthony Davis, Paul George type of package in return, right? But back then it was like, yeah, you know, it's Steve Francis and Ketino Mobley was a nice player, but, you know, those guys weren't anywhere near, even at that point, after Steve Francis had made a couple All-Star teams, he wasn't really anywhere near T-Mac's level at the time. But again, it's just sort of a total, it's been a total shift in how the league looks at these trades. And, you know, even if you look at the top of that list with AD and Paul George and Russell Westbrook and James Harden all traded in the last year or so, I think part of what's making Kevin Durant trade difficult is a lot of the teams that would potentially be interested in trading all the picks and all, you know, everything they have on the table to get KD aren't able to do it because we've seen so many of these trades over the past few years. And a lot of these contending teams simply don't have the ammo to even attempt to make an offer that would satisfy Brooklyn, even if they want to.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer, joining us here on Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson, and Mike Wells filling in for the guys. We were breaking down his list of the biggest trades in the NBA on the .com over the last two decades. Make sure you guys check out this list. So, Tim, I'm seeing essentially what you're saying when I was looking at this list, which I found kind of shocking, where it's almost like inflation in the NBA, where all the trades at the top of this list are post-2010. You mentioned that Shaq trade. You have that as ninth, but the top eight, and by the way, I love that trade as a Miami Heat fan, but the top eight here are all post-2010. So it just seems like the price has just gone up exponentially for these superstars in the league. I mean, how much higher? Now we're talking about Kevin Durant potentially being available. Where is the limit? There's got to be some ceiling here, right?
Yeah, and again, I think that's really the problem the Nets are having in making a Kevin Durant trade, because you look at him, it's, you know, it's Kevin Durant. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He's under contract for 4 years. You know, why isn't every team falling all over themselves to give everything they have? Well, for starters, if you go around the top teams in the league, they don't necessarily have, like, look at the package that the Lakers got for AD, right? There was three or four really good young players and a bunch of draft picks. There's just not a lot of teams that have three or four good young players and a bunch of draft picks and have a guy like LeBron James on the team, where if you trade for Anthony Davis, you're then going to be good enough to win a championship, right? Because if you trade for Kevin Durant, you have to be good enough to win a championship right now. You can't be good enough to win a championship in 3 years, because at that point, Kevin Durant is probably going to be too old to realistically be the number one guy on a championship team. So that, I think, it really does, to me, inform kind of the box that the Nets are in and the reason why a trade hasn't happened yet. This isn't trading for a guy that's 25 that you can envision having on your team at an elite level for 5 to 7 to 10 years. This is a guy where you have to have him, and when you get him, you got to be ready to win this year and next year. And if you're not, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to trade for him. And when you combine that with the amount of assets that the Nets realistically are looking for to get in a kind of deal like this, to trade a guy like Kevin Durant away, I think that's why you're sitting here with Kevin Durant still on the Nets. And to me, with a pretty good chance of him and Kyrie Irving being on this team in a couple of months, because it's just very, very difficult to find that nexus of both the team having enough to trade for him and then still having enough after trading for him to be good enough to win a championship when he's on their team.
Evaluating the past to look forward to the future. If you guys are an NBA fan like me, definitely go check it out. It's really fascinating to see it in writing. Again, Tim Bontemps on the.com ranking some of the biggest trades of the past two decades and how they might inform KD's future. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we are going to continue our ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days. We broke down earlier in the show for you the 49ers. Thank you for feeding that into my ear, because goodness knows I have broken down so many teams now every yes. single day here on ESPN Radio, including on the weekends, that I cannot keep them straight. We talked about the 49ers earlier on Bart and Hahn. If you missed that, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But coming up next, we will break down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in just moments. First, though, a word from Vivid Seats from Mike.
The 2022 baseball season is in full swing, and you can be there to catch all the action live with Vivid Seats. Get out to the ballpark and experience every home run, every web gem, and of course, every walk-off. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you'll start earning free tickets from your very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's a great deal right there. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket. From the box seats to the bleachers, Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices all summer long. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
You're listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys, taking you up until 3 o'clock Eastern. So you heard it there. We are going to break down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for you. And Mike, it is a new era in Tampa Bay, right? Tom Brady's still at the helm, but Bruce Arians is not. Bruce Arians might be retired as a head coach. Todd Bowles, though, takes over. Obviously, very familiar with the organization. Do you have concerns about the coaching change?
Well, of course. I wouldn't say concerns. I have questions about the head coaching change going from Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles, the former New York Jets head coach. Bowles is a defensive-minded head coach. Bruce Arians clearly was all about the offensive side of the ball. So hopefully Bowles will learn from what happened with the Jets and be able to, you know, take that experience.
Not do it again.
Don't do it again, and use what he learned from Bruce Arians by being on staff the last couple of years, and carry it over to, you know, his second go around as a head coach.
Yeah, it's like the Josh McDaniels experiment right out in Las Vegas. It's the same thing. It's like, well, hopefully when these guys go back as coordinators and sort of have time to reset and learn longer under veteran head coaches that have great success, then they themselves can better prepare for their next tenure as a head coach. I think that, you know, keeping it within the organization, it seems like to me, I don't know, you're reading between the lines with the stuff with Tom Brady, but it really did seem like to me, Mike, and maybe this is my ties to Miami and just seeing all the reports out of Miami, and it was just so odd, the whole Tom Brady retirement, and then there's the rumors and reports that maybe he was supposed to end up on the Miami Dolphins. Maybe Sean Payton was supposed to end up as the head coach down there. Brian Flores files his lawsuit against the Dolphins. The game plan changes, and then maybe Brady says, okay, well, I'm coming back to football. The Bucs aren't going to work with me anyways, probably getting me down to Miami, so I'll come back. I don't know if there was discussions about him wanting a different guy in charge. I have no idea. I would say this, even if it had nothing to do with that, Bruce Arians' departure, I would imagine that they ask Tom if he's cool with Todd Bowles, right? Like, hey, is this a good idea? Are you good with this? And obviously Tom Brady must have given it its blessing. And that's good enough for me. I believe in that component of it. So I don't have a huge concern from the coaching staff perspective, even though it's a new era in Tampa Bay. And of course, I never have a concern when Tom Brady is at the helm, even if he's in his, what, mid-40s now? I still am not going to count him out, because he's still playing at an unbelievable clip. We saw the things that he was able to do last season. But you heard in that rejoin about Gronk. I do think it's interesting, though. Tom Brady looks a lot better when Rob Gronkowski is out there to catch footballs from him. And we don't know if that's going to happen at any point this season. There's been conflicting reports. Gronk just told us again, no, on Good Morning America, that he's retired from football, even if he's not retired from other things. His girlfriend at Miami Swim Week, though, She confused us all. She said that she can't imagine he's retired. So we could still see it. We're probably not going to see it week one.
No. I think if Gronk's going to come back, who was, Rob Gronkowski being Tom Brady's, favorite target, in Tampa and also with the New England Patriots, if he's coming back, I think an injury is going to happen. He's going to have to, something has to happen in Tampa for Gronk to say, I'm unretired to come help my good buddy TB12 out. I don't think Gronk, for the heck of it, is going to say, you know what, let me go back and play and compete, sit there and be a 1 and 2 tight end with Kyle Rudolph. It's got to be an injury at the tight end spot that is going to hurt the Buccaneers for Tom to say, hey, Gronk, I need you. Please come help me out.
Yeah, well, I it would be Gronk moving past all the hardships of playing in the NFL in terms of the training camp and the grind and the practice and all that, right? The Bucs being in a position to actually contend, Tom Brady making that phone call that you just mentioned, and Gronk being in a place where he misses it, which happened to him before in his career, clearly, after he took time off. So maybe he'll get back there. It's possible. When boxers say they're retired, I never believe it. Gronk's a little bit like that. But it's also possible he actually believes he's retired at this point.
Yeah.
And then, week six, he has a change of heart. Like, that's entirely possible as well.
So if I said Amber, right now at 2:17 p.m. Eastern, does Rob Gronkowski play one snap this season in the NFL? What would you say?
I've actually changed my mind on it a bit, and I will say yes. I was saying a couple weeks ago no, that I thought that maybe this time it was for real. I believe the woman, man. I believe the woman. The woman.
Y'all got to stick together. Y'all stick together.
In my humble experience, very objective over here, the woman's always right. And it's because we actually are always right. And so I'm going to believe Gronk's girlfriend. If she says that she has a hard time believing that he's retired, then I have a hard time believing that he's retired.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. I think he's done. I think he's going to enjoy it. And Gronk's going to have the best life imaginable in retirement because, his personality and his outgoing ways makes it fun on how he goes about life. But, when you look at the Bucs, I think the makeup, the pieces are there again. I mean, they have things to be able to compete. Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford went into Tampa, knocked them out of the playoffs last year, and turned out to be an incredible game out there. But from offensive standpoint, Tom Brady's got his guys. Long as Mike Evans is out there, he's got the target. They got the running game out there. It's just a matter, can Bowles and that defense go toe-to-toe and be able to, contribute the same way the offense is going to contribute.
Now, Caesars has put a lot of respect on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their over-under win total is set at 11.5 wins. I'm not surprised to see that because, again, if Tom Brady's your quarterback and they've got a good team around him, I mean, you can't ever count them out. Even with a new head coach at the helm and some significant changes there in Tampa, if number 12 is out there playing for you, then you might find them in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, as long as Tom Brady's playing, they're always going to be in the mix for a Super Bowl. I mean, I think he's proven that throughout his career that they have what it takes because Tom is good enough to get the best out of his players. And you look at their schedule. I mean, they don't have one of those daunting schedules that's going to kill them. They have back-to-back weeks against Green Bay and Kansas City. Both of those games are at home. You get the Super Bowl champs, Rams. That's also at home. Same with games against Baltimore, a home game. So all the tough games, Cincinnati is a home game. The schedule is not easy from an opponent standpoint, Amber, but Tampa gets to play those games against those Super Bowl title contending teams at Raymond James Stadium. So that is going to help them out in that area. It'd be different if they're going on the road for all those games, but they caught a break and get to play them down there in Tampa.
If you look at that division, I think it's a little bit an interesting division now because a lot of people are really, really high on the New Orleans Saints. I don't know how you feel about the Saints this season, Mike Wells. Are you a believer that the Saints team, a very new era there in terms of head coach, but obviously now Jameis supposedly healthy. Do you believe that the Saints are going to be competition here for the Bucs?
No, I don't. Listen, new head coach Sean Payton is sitting back and waiting until he gets his next head coaching gig, whether it's in Dallas or whatnot. Jameis Winston is that guy that if you're not a Saints fan, you're like, man, that's a great play that he made. But if you're a Saints fan, you're like, oh my God, he's our franchise quarterback. And then when he throws three interceptions in the game, you're like, get him the heck out of here. We need a new starting quarterback. That's what you're rolling the dice with, and with Jameis Winston. So I can't say that the Saints are going to push the Bucks in the NFC South. Is the Bucks should easily win this division.
Yeah, I think the Bucks win. I think the Bucks win the division too. I'm not one who is as all in on the Saints as a lot of people around our network seem to be, just because of all the question marks and all the change there. And like you said, the inaccuracy of Jameis. I mean, I know it looked good for six games last season in the beginning of the season, but I do remember his time in Tampa as well. The road to the rematch is on as a bantamweight champ Julian Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now, ESPNplus.com. Coming up next, Kyler Murray broke the bank yesterday. Eventually, Lamar Jackson's going to break the bank, we think. But let's look a little further out. We'll look at the second-year quarterbacks. Will their teams break the bank or break away from their young signal callers? That's next. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys here on Bart and Hahn. You can always follow us on Twitter at Amber W Sports, at Mike Wells NFL. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people who you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we teased it last segment that there are quarterbacks, of course, they get paid. We think Lamar Jackson's going to be one of those. Kyler Murray just became one of those. But we wanted to have some fun with these second-year quarterbacks around the NFL and, Mike, determine whether they're going to get paid or whether their teams are going to end up breaking away from these quarterbacks. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
And give us a call if you are opinionated about this as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's start with Zach Wilson, the New York Jets. Do you think Zach Wilson is ultimately going to get paid coming off of his rookie contract, or is he going to be backing somebody up somewhere?
He's going to get paid because I love what the Jets did this offseason. Focusing on the offensive side of the ball in the draft, got some wide receiver help for him. So he's in position to get paid. I don't want to say he's getting paid. He's in position to get paid because he has weapons finally. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, Amber. The Jets are setting themselves up to start going in the right direction, going upward instead of constantly staying downward. So he's in position to get himself some dollar bills, y'all.
Zach Wilson looks the part. I have no idea if he is the part, but I do think that this season's going to go a long way to determine that, because I'm like you. I actually like what the Jets have done this offseason, an uncomfortable feeling for me, but I think that the Jets could be much improved. So I'll go ahead and say, sure, it's going to work out. Their luck has to change at some point, right? In New York, it changed in Buffalo. Why not? Maybe Zach Wilson is the guy for the New York Jets. I'll fall for the rope-a-dope. Let's move on to Trevor Lawrence, coming off of an incredibly disappointing rookie season, but frankly, one that he gets a pass for. Is Trevor Lawrence going to end up getting paid, or were the Jags totally wrong with that number one overall pick?
Nah, I'm a Trevor Lawrence. I'm being biased here. I loved watching Trevor Lawrence in at Clemson. I watched him twice last season, and he was, you know, the main reason why the Colts didn't make the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence looked like the number one overall pick against the Colts in week 18 of the season to end Indianapolis' chance to get there. He's getting paid. And you have Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is an offensive head coach, and he is going to be able to mold and groom Trevor Lawrence and get him in position to have success.
I love the Peterson move at head coach. I think he's the right man for the job to get the most out of Lawrence. I don't know what the most out of Lawrence is. I'm one who's been a little bit more critical of Lawrence because, man, did he have a bad rookie season. And I think it just gets totally overlooked because of everything that happened there with Urban Meyer and everything else. And I get that that's difficult circumstances. But also, Trevor Lawrence was really bad. And so, I don't know.
I can't go really bad. I felt
bad.
He could have had a better rookie year. I can't go really, really bad.
He could have had a much better rookie year, let's be real. I guess, for me, it was just such a fall off for this dude who everybody said was the can't miss number one overall pick. I mean, can't miss. People were talking about Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson like he's the best thing we've ever seen since sliced bread, which honestly, sliced bread, a little overrated. It's fine in its entire role. Nevertheless, Trevor Lawrence is one who I think really, really has to show us some dramatic improvement, because I do think he's got the right coach in place. Also, the Jags were big money spenders in the offseason. They're trying to set him up for success. It's not going to win a Super Bowl this season. It's not going to get close to it. It just needs to improve some, but fine. I guess I'll still say he'll get paid. I haven't let go of the rope yet. Mac Jones.
Hey, offensive coordinator or not, Mac Jones is nice. He's that mature quarterback who plays behind his years. I mean, he doesn't get rattled in the pocket. I talked to my good friend Mike Reese a number of times, who covers the Patriots for ESPN. And if Mike Reese is a believer in somebody, I'm a believer in him. And I watched Mac Jones late in the season, and I like what the kid has. I think he has all the tools, and this will be a big year for him with no Josh McDaniels, and who knows who's going to be, you know, calling the plays into him. But I just think from a maturity standpoint, he is going to be one of the best quarterbacks to come from Alabama.
I know that we all think that if you're a quarterback and you're wearing a New England Patriots uniform, that it's going to end up being generational. I don't know if it is with Mac Jones. I actually thought he was a little overrated last year. Maybe the Patriots effect, but they did a really good job of coaching him, hiding some of his shortcomings. He's in the right system, a Pro Bowler, even though he could have looked more accurate with some of those Pro Bowl competitions. Nevertheless, I do think that Mac Jones, you know, arguably has the best coach in the NFL at the helm. So fine, he'll end up getting paid. Fields.
By the way, I like how you kind of, the best coach in the NFL. You mumbled that long.
You're so special, Bill Belichick, not telling us who it's calling plays for you this season, who the OC is. It's so special. You really pulled one over on all of us in the media. Anyways, Justin Fields.
Oh, he is going to break away, and it's not going to be his fault. He's going to break away and have a solid NFL career with a different team. The Chicago Bears have set Justin Fields up for failure. Did not help him offensively in the offseason. Did not give him much help at wide receiver. Did not, you know, he's not in position to do well. The Bears in a rebuilding mode under first year head coach Matt Eberflus. But Justin, unfortunately, it's going to be a rough go for him.
Yeah,
so
he is going to
break away.
I'm going to say break away as well, just because I think the Bears could be the worst team in the league this season. I'm with you. I think that he's very much not set up for success there. And listen, I mean, these high picks are often not set up for success, but it's going to be ugly here for Justin Fields, I think, in his sophomore year. It feels like the Bears are trending the wrong direction. Davis Mills of the Houston Texans. Is he getting paid? Is he going to surprise us all?
No. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I mean, he was, listen, Davis, in fairness, Davis was surprisingly decent last season on a really terrible Texans team.
You and I have
really
been rolling.
Under really difficult circumstances.
Well, you and I have been rolling so well for the past 2 days, Amber. And to say Davis Mills, the quarterback I saw twice last season, no. He
I called
not
it decent.
Be the,
I didn't call it good. I called it decent.
He will not. Passable. And you killed Trevor Lawrence, but you would take Davis Mills. He won't be the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans in 2023.
A little different starting point in terms of the narrative around those two guys.
I'm just saying, Davis Mills is not good.
I don't know if Davis Mills is good or not. I'm just not sure that we're going to find out on this Houston Texans team this season. I guess I will agree with you that they'll probably end up breaking away. Trey Lance.
Whew, man, that's a tough one. Because we only got a small sample size of him. I think he's going to be the guy in San Francisco because of Kyle Shanahan. He's going to mold him in the right direction. I'm not sure he's going to break the bank, but he's going to get paid and he's going to have success.
I have no idea. I legitimately have no idea about Trey Lance because I haven't seen him play enough football. He's got a really, really good team, though, there. I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is a generational quarterback either, and look at the success that he's had. And so I guess knowing that, I'll say fine that he's going to end up getting paid. Plus, man, if they're willing to move on from the guy that we know can get them to the Super Bowl, then they must really see something in Trey Lance. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit progressive.com. So coming up next, we are going to get to your phone calls on this subject. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are coming down the stretch here on Bart and Hahn, Amber Wilson and Mike Wells. We've been filling in for the guys. You can follow us on Twitter at Amber W Sports, at Mike Wells NFL. Tune in to an NL battle Sunday as the Mets host the Padres. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. So I promised we'd get to your phone calls. We appreciate all the calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bryce is in Virginia. Bryce, what is your reaction to second-year quarterbacks? Who's getting paid? Who's breaking away?
Well, Trevor Lawrence is definitely going to get paid. And after the Jaguars surprise some people and definitely make the playoffs and beat somebody in that first game, first round of the playoffs, they're going to pay the man. And all I got to say after that is Duval!
I would imagine that Bryce was a Jags fan. That didn't surprise me there at the end, representing Duval County. Listen, if the Jags make the playoffs, then yeah, Trevor Lawrence is about to get paid, right? Like that. I mean, that is the goal. That's the initial goal for the Jacksonville Jaguars, is make the postseason, make it into relevancy. That would be a huge leap for this team.
Hey, listen, the Jaguars need to do something to be able to hang their hats on outside of being able to beat the Colts in Jacksonville every single year. Beyond that, they have nothing to be excited about. If they're able to get anywhere near close to a 500 record, they don't have to be 500, but get close to it, even though you can't be 500 when you're playing 17 games, that's a great season for them. That's showing signs of taking steps in the right direction.
That would be a great season for them. I mean, the postseason is certainly a lofty goal. So if they make it to 500, that's fine. I mean, anything is an improvement on three wins last season, right? Like anything.
Yes.
So I do think that Trevor Lawrence needs to take a big step, though. And I was saying that earlier in the show. I do think that Trevor Lawrence has something to show us and something to prove. Because when you come in as a surefire, can't miss pick, which, by the way, nobody, I mean, we look at the history of the draft, number one picks work out like 50% of the time. But for some reason, everybody was just so sure that you couldn't miss on Trevor Lawrence to such an insane degree that now it would look like one of the biggest busts in NFL history if it doesn't pan out. I have no way to evaluate it coming off of the disaster that was last season under Urban Meyer's tenure in Jacksonville. But I do think that Doug Peterson is that guy. And so now Trevor Lawrence has his real chance here to show us what he's got. And that Jags team should be improved. So it's not necessarily the postseason. I just need to see him show some improvement. Noel is in Connecticut. What do you have for us?
Hey, Amber. Hey, Mike. Good to be speaking to you guys. So I just had a quick hot take on the second-year quarterback situation. I totally agree with Mike as far as Justin Fields goes. Doesn't get any help as far as front office and wide receiver help. Obviously, they're setting him up for failure. I believe that eventually he will end up on the New Orleans Saints. I think that Winston's got a 2 years that he signed off, and I understand that Fields has got, you know, obviously signed a 4 year, but I think eventually he'll end up on the Saints and he'll have a pretty good career, and I think he'll make some things happen over there, especially if they've got the great defense like they've always had and a solid wide receiver core.
It's really hard to believe in Justin Fields in Chicago because I think we all agree he's not set up for success. I like that Noel already knows where he's going, though, after Chicago. Like, we've already moved on 3 years into the future. That was interesting. But, yeah, I really can't expect much from Justin Fields. I mean, you can't expect it because of the team around the guy, then he's probably going to get another chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. It's just, I just feel bad for him because, I mean, I followed him since he was on QB1 on Netflix. And I just feel like, you know, the Bears, when they looked at their offseason moves, they didn't say, hey, let's help our quarterback out, our starting quarterback out, and not put him in position to fail. But instead, they said, hey, good luck, Justin. We'll see what you can do with little around you.
Let's try to get one more call in here. LS is in Virginia. LS, who's getting paid?
Trey Lance is going to get paid. I know we talking about the quarterback situation, but you got to look at our defense and our running game. If we lean on that like we've been doing all those years, Trey Lance is just going to put icing on the cake. We can keep Garoppolo in the cut.
Well, this is what I do think is interesting. At least Trey Lance is walking into a really good team, a really good situation. And it wasn't like people think Garoppolo is Tom Brady out there. And you saw the success that he was able to have. So I do think Trey Lance is going to be in the right system to that caller's point, right, Mike? Where, yeah, they can hide. Maybe if there are shortcomings, they can hide them in that system and get the best out of him with some of the reliance also on the backfield instead.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, he has worked. He's an offensive guru. I think he's, you know, one of the best, you know, top two or three play callers in the NFL. He's not going to set him. He's not setting Trey up to you be in position to struggle. And when I say that, it could be the defense doing most of the work, and Trey just has to be simple and continue to get his feet wet and grow off of his first year as a full-time starter and then take off in year three overall in the NFL. So I'm hoping it works out for him, because if not, San Francisco is going to be like – They're gonna have seller's remorse when it's all said and done.
Yeah,
when they're selling off on Jimmy G.
If you're willing to get rid of the guy that you know can win you an NFC championship, then you really feel like you hit on your pick with Trey Lance. And that was the purpose of drafting Trey Lance to begin with. And Jimmy Garoppolo has durability issues. He's had them throughout his career, so they didn't want to have to hand him that next contract anyways. Hopefully Trey Lance will be able to show them that they did the right thing moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, even with all the success that Garoppolo did have in the San Francisco 49ers uniform. Coming up next, Canty and Carlin right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.